Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for The Money Smarts for You show. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I want teens, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, the number four, the letter U.com. Since May is the month right before summer starts, I'm covering topics that are of interest as the calendar draws near June 1st. Last week, I talked about seven financial things to do if you're graduating high school senior. And this week, I'm covering the seven things to do before you move in together. With many weddings in June, a lot of couples decide to move in together before they marry. In addition, more people are choosing cohabitation over marriage, whether they are heterosexual, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or as people age, they are simply looking for a way to make ends meet. Cohabitation, unlike marriage, does not have a legal framework built around it to provide a clear structure for these relationships that will function effectively during health crises, family squabbles, or just plain breakups and separations. So before you move in together as housemates, roommates, or lovers, consider these seven things to do before your lives become entwined in so many different ways. One, execute a written agreement about what belongs to whom. If you're combining households, each bringing clothes, furnishings, plates, flatware, television, computers, and assorted other items into one living space, it may be a good idea to make a simple list of what you're bringing in and what they are bringing in. You don't have to list every sock or dress or suit, but maybe use a summary like dresses sizes 10 and 12. Or if your great Aunt Susie left you her Limoges dishes, then you will want to describe them as set of Limoges, 10 dinner, 10 salad, 10 cups and saucers, naming the pattern or including the photo. If you have anything that matters to you, like a dining table that your grandfather left you, then add that to the list. You want this list in case things don't work out, or in case there is a fire or flood and you have to claim the loss of it on your insurance policy. Photos of the items won't hurt either, making it much clearer that items you are claiming as yours are yours. Since women live longer than men and for years have been paid 70% less than men, women often find themselves in a bind financially in their later years. Cohabiting with other women, sharing a house or apartment, is often a solution that works, allowing for continued independence and often a better quality lifestyle. In these cases, the items brought in by one party or the other need to be cataloged, if only to be later disseminated to heirs who may want that dresser or that piece of art that were part of the furnishings brought into a home by one of the tenants. Two, execute a written agreement about who pays for what. Whether you are roommates in college or moving in together in lieu of marriage, this step can save everyone a lot of grief. How will you divide the rent, the mortgage, the insurance payments? Who will pay the gas and electric? Does everyone buy his or her own groceries, liquor, wine? When the television breaks, will you share the expense, or will one of you buy it and call it your own? You can create a joint account if you decide you hope to live forever together. But remember, it is a joint account, and both of you are liable for any overdrafts that may occur due to one or both of you withdrawing funds from the account. Take turns handling the money, doing the books, and paying the bills. This is a good tip whether you're married or not married, if you have a joint account. Make sure you both know what you're spending each month and be open in your discussions about your spending habits. Three, execute a written agreement about what happens if you separate, break up, or go your separate ways. Yes, this is a good exercise to go through together. If you've made your list of what belongs to each of you, then your agreement can be very simple, stating that you each get your stuff back. If you plan to have joint accounts, joint ownership of assets like a home or automobiles, then this agreement needs to stipulate how you will divide undividable things. Are you going to sell all those assets and divide up the money, or will you each have the opportunity to buy them at a mutually agreed upon appraisal from a mutually agreed upon source? 4, make a list delegating household responsibilities to each partner or party residing in your household. If you happen to be sharing space, an apartment or a house, this is imperative to create this kind of to-do list. People who love each other will overlook a multitude of sins of their partner, but roommates seldom do so. So either make a list or make a job jar and come up with the rules and, if necessary, the penalties for non-performance. Include everything from taking out the trash, cleaning the cat box, doing the laundry, cleaning the toilet, and sweeping the floor. Remember to alternate who is handling the money too and who goes to the grocery store and plans meals. Not sharing these responsibilities creates resentment that can lead to separations and breakups. 5, execute your basic legal documents, such as a will, directive to physician, durable power of attorney for health care, and durable power of attorney for managing your assets. Make sure your retirement accounts reflect the beneficiaries you want to have in place. Keep in mind that just because you love someone and may have been there for them for years does not protect you from their family. Family trumps everyone else, even lovers and long-term friends. When I'm talking about family, I'm talking about blood relations, like children, ex-husbands and wives, parents. Just remember, for some reason, our system gives them more power than the rest of us. An elderly friend of mine who asked me to be her representative for her health care decisions in the event she was unable to make those decisions had a heart attack one night. I was called by her nephew, who she had not given that power to, i.e., she had not asked him to be her representative for healthcare decisions. And he told me that she was in the hospital and that I needed to get there right away. I rushed to the hospital and made the decision to have her spend the night, even though she wanted to go home. I visited her in the hospital the next day. She was still mentally fuzzy, but she had seen her doctor and was willing to stay in the hospital one more night. While she was there that night, her nephew brought her new documents to sign, naming him as her durable power of attorney for health care. When I came back the next day, I was told I was not welcome to visit her, that I was not on the list of approved visitors. Just like that, I was no longer able to see her or know what was happening with her. This was someone I cared a great deal about and had been, I guess, helping for 10 years or more. It was a very hurtful situation and one I will never forget. Make sure that if you are cohabiting with someone who you want treated like your life partner, that you name them as a beneficiary in your will, as the beneficiary for your retirement plans, the beneficiary for your life insurance policy, or that you have constructed a well-thought-out estate plan for their benefit, taking into account the tax laws as they affect your assets, whether you are legally married or not. In looking for an attorney, make sure they're a specialist in dealing with the law for people who are not married. You want them to be familiar with family law, and you want them to be a specialist in this particular area. With some life planning documents, you can name people who you do not want to be named your guardian. In other words, if there is a family member that you know is just a greedy pig and you don't want them to have access to your assets and manage them for you, basically for themselves, then you can list their name on that document stating you do not want them to be considered to either be your guardian or to have a power of attorney to manage your assets. You can also stipulate that you do not want them to be in a position of responsibility regarding your health or your assets, and hopefully that will alleviate any shenanigans that might be attempted by unhappy blood-related parties. 6, update your HIPAA documents with your doctors and healthcare providers to include your partner. As I mentioned before, many physicians and health providers have approved lists of individuals who can have access to information about the patient or even have access to visit the patient. Every time you go to the doctor, you're asked to review your information regarding your address, phone number, insurance carrier. But one thing that is usually not discussed is whether you have any changes that you would like to make regarding who is entitled to information about your health situation and your health care as governed by HIPAA, which is a patient privacy law that was brought into effect during the Clinton administration. So when you go into the doctor, if your life situation has changed, you may want to ask them if you can update your HIPAA documents and if you can update those people that the doctor has the right to visit with or the hospital has the right to allow them to visit you. If you're newly married or you're cohabiting with a significant person in your life, make sure they're on this list of most trusted individuals. It will allow them to talk to the doctor about your situation and know what's going on with your health. A durable power of attorney will also carry these same rights with it. 7. If you have children together, make sure you have guardian language included in your wills and other life planning documents. Adopting children together, having one partner artificially inseminated, or having a child by employing a surrogate mother all bring up the legal question of who has custody of the child in the event of death or separation. Depending on the laws of the state involved, only one person may be the parent, requiring that there may be some kind of guardian succession document or language included in your life planning documents. There have been cases where one member of a couple who adopted a child became disabled and unable to care for the child. Because no provisions existed that designated the guardian for that child and the means to care for that child, custody was transferred to blood relations of the individual who was disabled, leaving out the partner who basically had been the co-parent all that time. Make sure that you consult with an attorney who's familiar with family law in your state to draft the documents and include the language you need to protect your child and your family unit. If you move to another state, you need to make sure the documents that you have on file will be applicable in that state. Now, after all these 7 things I've mentioned to you, one of the things that you really need to make sure that you do is that you make sure other family members, heirs, and children understand what you were doing and why. In other words, if you have children from a previous marriage and you find that you're cohabiting with someone later on in life and that you're not going to marry, but you may want to provide for them in your will or your retirement plan beneficiary or life insurance beneficiary, it's always good to let your family know what you're doing and why you're doing it. And regardless of whether you're planning to marry or to cohabit for your lifetime together, or you're sharing living space with others to make ends meet, make sure your blood relations, your children, or other family members know what your plans are and why you're making the choices you're making. I'm not saying ask for their approval or their blessing. What I am saying is don't keep them in the dark and treat them like mushrooms. In my family of origin, my parents constantly explained their estate plans to me and had me be part of their plan with knowledge of their accounts and investments, so that I was aware of their means and their personal situation. They weren't always straightforward about the health problems that they were having, but eventually I would find out what was going on. I knew how they wanted decisions made for their benefit, and I knew what was expected of me. I also knew that they were consistent in their wishes each time they expressed them to me over the last 10 years of their lives. I never doubted for a moment what they really wanted in disability and at the end of their lives. They consistently told me, "We don't want extreme measures taken. We don't want to be kept alive as a vegetable." They were really, really clear on those things. So when my father had a heart attack and I had to make a decision about, the doctors asked me, "Do you want extreme measures taken?" I knew the answer was no, because I knew he wouldn't have liked that. Adult children need to know what kind of responsibility they will have for their aging parents, if they will have any at all. With mental acuity diminishing with age, it is a good idea to share your financial situation, your plan, and your thoughts on how you hope your later life will play out. If you have a life partner who is not legally married to you, it is wise to make sure your children understand whether you will be financially responsible for that partner as they age, or if they have their own assets and plans set up for their benefit. It is also important that they know what they may or may not inherit. When you share your plans, expect some hurt feelings, maybe even anger if you have children, or if there are others who believe they may be more deserving of your largesse. You may prefer to have someone other than your partner be in charge of your health decisions or business decisions at the end of your life. You may want your children involved in that process. It will be up to you. One of the best gifts you can give to the people you love is to inform them of your decisions about your life and your estate planning so they won't be surprised when the time comes and so they know what their role is in the process. Before you move in with somebody, make sure you have address these issues. It really is helpful in the event it doesn't work out. If you marry someone and then you separate, there is a legal process called divorce that allows you to basically divide everything up and sever your relationship. But if you cohabit, that doesn't exist. Obviously, college roommates is a special situation. You're sharing space, you're renting an apartment together for the purpose of having a place to live to get through college. But if you're looking at a relationship, a long-term relationship, a potential long-term relationship, make sure you clarify a lot of these issues that I've talked about today before you move forward. In my closing, when I was talking about sharing your plans with your children and other members of your family that are significant, I think it's particularly important that if you have a parent who's aging and they have caretakers that have worked with them a long time, that you need to remember that those people are employees, that they are not best friends of your parents, and that you need to be keeping an eye on what they're doing. If they have access to bank accounts, if they have access to credit cards, if they have access to any kind of funds, or if they go with your parent to meetings with lawyers and accountants, they may be overstepping their bounds. So it's important that you step up to the plate and do what you can to not only protect your parents from someone taking advantage of them, but also making sure that their wishes are being executed as they would like them to be executed. Thank you all so much for joining me today for the Money Smarts For You show. Please email me any questions or thoughts that you may have to Barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com. That's Barbie at MoneySmarts, MoneySmarts, the number four, the letter U.com. And we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at MoneySmartsForYou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.